This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Last night, primaries took place across the country in five states, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, Virginia, and Washington. In a number of races, incumbents and moderates were pit against progressives, making these elections another clear data point as to what voters want for the future of the Democratic Party. In the most anticipated Democratic primary of the night, Dr. Abdul El-Sayed, a progressive in favor of universal health care and a critic of U.S. military aid to Israel, defeated four-term Congresswoman Haley Stevens in the Michigan Senate Democratic primary. Half a dozen outside groups spent $62 million to support Stevens, according to the New York Times. Over half came from the super PAC arm of AIPAC. Here is Dr. Abdul El-Sayed speaking to supporters last night.
Across that movement that we built, there was an inspiration in the idea that we could take our government back. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people, instead of government of the corporations, by the special interests, and for the billionaires. And because you had the audacity to believe in that, you know that the billionaires, the corporations and the special interests, they weren't going to give up lightly. We all knew they were going to spend their money. We didn't know they were going to spend $70 million of their money. We didn't know that they were going to outspend us $11 to $1. And yet we're still standing.
That is Dr. Abdul El-Sayed speaking to supporters last night. A few other highlights. William Lawrence, a co-founder of the youth-led environmental group, the Sunrise Movement, defeated two Democrats for a battleground House district in Michigan. Those Democrats worked for Obama and Biden and received endorsements from establishment candidates. William Lawrence, who won, was endorsed by Senator Bernie Sanders and other progressives. Donovan McKinney, a Democratic socialist and Michigan State Representative, ousted Shri Thander, the congressman who represents Detroit. And then in Missouri, Representative Wesley Bell fended off a primary challenge from former Representative Cori Bush, a Democratic socialist. Cori Bush was ousted from her St. Louis seat by Bell 2 years ago and had been attempting a comeback. Voters in Missouri overwhelmingly voted down two Republican-sponsored proposals. One would have made it much harder to pass citizen-led ballot initiatives. It would have required initiatives to win in each of the state's eight congressional districts rather than by a simple statewide majority, but voters said no to that. Another Republican measure would have phased out the state income tax in Missouri, and voters said no to that one as well. Joining us is David Dayan, executive editor of The American Prospect and co-host of the Organized Money podcast. David Dayan is author of two books, Monopolized, Life in the Age of Corporate Power, and Chain of Title, How Three Ordinary Americans Uncovered Wall Street's Great Foreclosure Fraud. Hi, David. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hi, good to talk to you again.
Well, it's great to have you. So last night, the race wasn't officially called, but it was this morning. And I've been hearing that what was spent in Michigan actually broke Senate records. $62 million was spent on this Democratic primary. That is a lot of money. And yet Dr. Abdul El-Sayed still won. That money was spent to support Haley Stevens. What are your thoughts on that race?
Yeah, that $62 million was just on Stevens' side. She had a 9-to-1 outside spending advantage over El-Sayed. And yet he emerged victorious. I think a lot of progressives looked at the late polls in that race showing El-Sayed winning by double digits and sort of talked themselves into being disappointed this morning. But I'm not sure that should be the real way to look at it. I mean, this is someone, as we just mentioned, who was outspent 9-to-1. The sitting governor and the sitting senator of Michigan endorsed Stevens. A large number of Stevens' ads, the outside ads, used an 8-year-old quote from the most popular politician in the Democratic Party, Barack Obama, praising Stevens for her work on the auto rescue. there was a massive amount of support, financial and otherwise, in for Stevens, and she still was unable to win the race. And when you have that disparity, you can't expect to win in a landslide. And the fact that El-Sayed was able to win it all speaks to his talent on the stump, but also the organizing that he did to be able to muster enough support.
And I'm looking at the New York Times latest results. We're talking Abdul El-Sayed about 741,000 votes to Haley Stevens, 726,000. So this was a close race. And it was so interesting. When you talk about the ground game, David, I was watching MS Now last night, and one of the reporters was out on the streets with Dr. El-Sayed last night. And it's so easy for those of us in this industry who are news junkies to forget that a lot of people are just trying to get by. They don't follow these things like we do. And I was so struck, and I can't stop thinking about this. Dr. El-Sayed knocked on the door of a number of people who didn't even know an election was happening. And I'll be honest, my first thought is, how is that possible? But then when you really think about it, people are just trying to get by. They might not have time to watch news and read newspapers. And so he said, there's an election happening. This is what I stand for. You can go register to vote. So I think that's such an important piece of where we are right now, David.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was important and maybe even determinative in El-Sayed's race, given the close margin. It was certainly important in Will Lawrence's race, where organizers for Lawrence said they knocked on over 100,000 doors during the course of the primary. It was important in McKinney's race. He was also running against millions of dollars put up by his opponent, who is a wealthy former pharma executive, who also was an incumbent. Candidate organization, grassroots energy, these things really, really matter in elections. The other side, the more mainstream Democrats, often make these electability arguments. They say, well, we can't be too extreme for the general elections because that will turn off the swing voters that we need to win. But they don't think about getting to the general election and what it takes to do that. And I think what happened in Michigan is that the candidates who ended up winning actually were running a race rather than trying to make an argument about electability.
I want to also ask you, after we play these clips, do you think longtime establishment Democrats realize how angry people are about money in politics? I want to play two clips. CNN spoke with voters in Michigan yesterday, and then MS Now also spoke with a voter in Michigan.
I don't want somebody that's in somebody else's pocket that they have to agree to what they want to. You know, too many people like that in politics.
Abdul.
And why is that?
Because he doesn't take money from AIPAC. I'm not voting for anybody who takes money from AIPAC.
And why is that?
Because the money should be spent here, not over there.
Overall change in people who had an independent view and thought process of what's right for the voters, not what's right for corporate PACs or what's right for any affiliations that support them.
I just wouldn't want a single of our family's tax-paying dollars to go towards something like that. It's like giving money to violence.
So would you support a Senate candidate, in this case Haley Stevens, who's more of a moderate like you tend to like, but would that be enough?
That would definitely turn me off as a 100%. I couldn't. I would vote for a communist first.
So those are clips from CNN and MS Now. David, again, going back to the Stevens Abdul Sayed race, to think that $62 million was spent for Haley Stevens in a primary, do you think the Democratic Party understands just how angry people are about money in politics and why we don't have basic health care? I was just watching people lobbying for dental care. We don't even talk about dental care in this country. Do you think they get it?
I mean, I think what they believe and have believed, and it's been borne out by some experiences, that people may say they don't like money in politics, but it works. And that's true until it isn't. So when you spend $62 million and you justify it by saying this is what we need to do to win, and then you don't win, maybe there is a moment where you have the eureka comment and you say, okay, maybe this isn't the way to go about things. Maybe we need to have an argument. Maybe we need to have a mission and a policy agenda and a way to deliver for people rather than just bombarding them with campaign ads. This isn't the first race where we've seen a lot of money fail to move voters. Right here in California, Tom Steyer spent about $200 million. It was in service to a different kind of agenda, but that wasn't able to move the needle either. So maybe voters, maybe this is sort of the election where money still matters, but it matters less than it ever has before.
And a real quick 30 seconds, the thing that's been bothering me about this debate about the progressive wing versus the mainstream wing is we're not even talking about the issues. And when you look at Abdul Al-Sayed's campaign and others, even though many in the Democratic Party are not talking about the climate crisis, the people, the progressives who won last night, actually have a lot of information about the climate crisis on their website. But the media is hardly talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, we get too caught up in the horse race and electability and can this candidate unite the different factions of the party and all this factionalism. The reality is that the candidates that have won have focused on issues that matter to the public. Will Lawrence ran his entire campaign around opposition to data centers. El-Sayed had a slogan, money out of politics, money in your pocket, and Medicare for all. They have foregrounded things that speak to the needs of their constituents, and their constituents rewarded them with a victory. And so maybe there's a lesson in that for everybody in the Democratic Party.
David Dayan is executive editor of The American Prospect, co-host of the Organized Money podcast, and author of two books, including Chain of Title, How Three Ordinary Americans Uncovered Wall Street's Great Foreclosure Fraud. Thank you so much for joining us, David.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.